WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you happen to have Twitch Prime available, well, you can subscribe to the channel for free. That's right, free, no money. All you have to do is click the little purple heart at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for the next 30 days for free. And well, if you don't have a subscription with Amazon Prime or Twitch Prime or whatever the hell it's called, that's okay. You can also subscribe the regular way too. We don't mind, but if you just want to hang out and chat, that's cool too. And if you're in a following mood, well, you can go over to twitch.tv/Lindsay Ward and follow my channel when I stream. I think I may have gotten my internet problems fixed. We will see. Only time will tell, so I may be streaming this weekend. Follow my Twitters to find out more. Anyway, I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer/co-host/Anyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. Each way is at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. We got a lot of things on the docket.
We do. We do. It doesn't look like a full show, but we've got some news. We've got some notes. We've got some NXT. We have Money in the Bank to talk about. And, well, we are even talking a little Taker tonight because we're going to do a quick review of episode 1 of The Last Ride for your listening enjoyment, so you don't want to miss that. And that's coming up a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, just in a few minutes.
So I say we don't waste any time and we jump right into the news. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. What do you say?
Let's get right into all the news that you can handle.
So, all right. We have to talk about it. We talked about it on Monday, but it is literally the biggest story in wrestling. And that is that, well, if you missed the Raw post show on Monday night, you missed the major announcement, which is that Becky Lynch, the man, is in fact pregnant. For anybody wondering, yes, it is Seth. I don't think we had any questions, but just to clarify.
I mean, the internet had questions.
Yeah, the internet had questions, but Seth has acknowledged the pregnancy, that he is the father. They're both very excited. They're very overjoyed. He put out pictures of the moment after they found out they were pregnant together, or rather she was pregnant, because they're not they. It's not a they. It's a she is pregnant type situation. But they're both overjoyed and happy. So once again, congratulations to Seth and Becky. And I know they're both very eager for December to come.
Yes, they are. One, I think the child's going to be a very loud screamer just based on the two of their personalities. Mainly Seth, he's a screamer.
That child is going to be the biggest, punniest dork on the planet, and I'm here for it.
I mean, it's going to be great. I'm happy for them. They did a thing, and now she's going to be gone for a while. And we'll see what happens with her career going forward. It sucks that she's going to be out of the spotlight for a while, but this is a new chapter in her life, and it's well-deserved.
It is. It's very well-deserved, so congratulations to them once again. There's a blame Lindsay. Who did I break up now?
Who did you break up?
I don't know. Did I break somebody up? Matt's saying I broke somebody up. Who did I break up?
Was it Mary-Kate Olsen, I think, and her husband, I think? What football player?
I already took credit for What's-His-Bucket in Calivari.
Jay Cutler.
Yeah, him. That dude. I took credit for that already.
We already did that one. That was a few days ago.
Yeah, that was like weeks ago.
You're behind on the game, Matt. Behind. You're falling behind. Keep up.
The Olsen thing, are you really surprised? Because he's like 50 and she's
32.
30s?
32.
Yeah, I mean, are we really shocked by that? I don't think so. I mean, I'm very sorry that they're broken up and she's having these problems and she's getting thrown out of her apartment. That's terrible.
Because apparently she wanted to have a career and he's like, no, stay home. Because he's French. Legit, that's the article I read. Anyway.
Okay. Well, now she can go have a career. So.
She's been focusing on her fashion career and he's like, I spend more time with me. And she's like, no, I want to do my career.
And they left. So there we go.
That's where we're at in the stage. Chat, there we are.
So continuing on with the news, because, you know, in a weird week of news, the other big story is that for some really unknown reason, nobody's entirely sure why, Sami Zayn was stripped of the IC title.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very bizarre how that happened, because basically he won it, and then after WrestleMania, where he defended, they've come out and they said, well, we're going to take the title off him. It's assumed because he's staying home due to COVID reasons, but nobody's really sure. I don't even think Sammy's really sure.
Or Sammy's just playing it up on Twitter.
Or Sammy's just playing it up on Twitter, which he's doing, but yeah, it's kind of a little weird. I mean, it's like for guys like Jordan Devlin, you understand, because he's over in Ireland, he can't defend the title, so they're bringing it back to the U.S. to have it on TV for the time being. But yeah, Sammy's a little strange, so they're going to be crowning a new IC champion here shortly.
They're starting a tournament this Friday on SmackDown. So we have tournaments on television. Woohoo!
Yeah. Yay, content! Moving on from content over to NXT real quick. Rachel Evers / Ellerling has been released, so sorry to see her go.
I think she was part of the cuts, I believe.
Yeah, she's kind of one of those that trickled out, so sorry she's gone.
Same case of like Deanna. She was never going to be put in a position to succeed like she wants to, and here we are.
They kind of went on a hiring kick there where they signed as many of the really, really good, talented female wrestlers as they possibly could. And there's nothing wrong with that because they saw the success of the women's division. And so they were trying to really stack that division. I think they had way too much talent and they didn't have a place for them. So I would rather see her go on and be successful elsewhere than be stuck, not able to do anything.
Yeah.
So hopefully she lands somewhere and is happy. Moving on to Impact real quick. Crazy Steve and Sue Young have re-signed their deals, so congratulations to them.
Yeah, Sue Young signed the extension. Crazy Steve has joined back up with the company. He returned a few weeks ago at the TV tapings. So
good for him. And in AEW news, Mike Tyson is to present the TNT Championship at Double or Nothing.
It's the kickoff of the Attitude Era, boys. Girls, it's the kickoff of the Attitude Era. Mike Tyson, he's going to do a thing. He's going to do a thing at Double or Nothing. He's going to hand over a championship to the winner. And, you know, it's the start of the Monday Night Wars. I mean, it's the Attitude Era. Mike Tyson, he wants to come back to boxing, so this is a way to, you know, get his name back out there. I mean, it's Mike Tyson, the baddest man on the planet. Oh, my God. Stone Cold! Stone Cold! You ruined it! You ruined it! Oh, wait, wrong comment. Anyway.
Right announcer, though.
Slap a knocker.
Moving on from that. Weird. Okay, so we have one more story before we move on to other things. We are going to report this story. We are not going to report it with bias. We are not. We are going to try not to make any snarky comments. We are not going to do anything other than state the fact, and then we're going to try and move on, which is the following. Alberto Del Rio was arrested this past weekend for assault, amongst other charges, I believe, in Texas, where he held, I guess, his girlfriend. Is that what we're calling her right now? Girlfriend?
Something.
Lady friend?
Lady friend. We'll go with lady friend.
We'll go with lady friend, where he apparently tied her up, abused her, and held her captive. There are reports that he burned her passport to keep her from going away. This is not the first time that Alberto has been accused and, I believe, caught for abusive behavior. We all know the Paige story. So she's a little vindicated here in terms of his behavior. So good for her. I hope the vindication helps her. But yeah, this is pretty severe. And seeing as this is not the first time that he's been arrested for this type of behavior, I would not be the least bit surprised if he does not see jail time for this, especially given the severity of what he did. Like, you can go read the news story and you can read everything he did. I'm going to just kind of sort of gloss over the details because I don't want to get too graphic with it. But yeah, this is bad. This is very bad for him.
One more run. We want another run of Alberto Del Rio in WWE. Everyone wants to see it. Oh, wait, he's the only one throwing that out there. But to cover his tracks for being she said I can't say anything, so I'm not going to say anything.
We're not going to inject personal opinion into this.
She told me I cannot say a thing.
Yeah. So I hope his lady friend recovers. I hope she's okay. I hope that she gets the help that she needs. I hope she gets the love and support that she needs. And I hope his other victims finds, if he has them, because it's innocent until proven guilty, they find solace in this. I hope. But yeah, this is not a good situation for him at all. So
all I have to say is...
The last,
oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
Let's talk about Taker, 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 Taker. Oh my God, it's Taker.
The last ride, y'all. Okay, so this past Sunday, prior to Money in the Bank, originally they had said it was going to debut after Money in the Bank, but I guess they released it early.
They put it up on demand, but officially debuted after.
Yeah, officially debuted, but they put it up early for everybody to watch and enjoy. It is part of a five-part series. Five-part series detailing the last three or so years of The Undertaker's career and partially his life. We get a very, at least in this episode, hard look at what he's going through physically, where he's at mentally. We get a lot of really unprecedented access to him that we have never had in the past.
Which, by the way, was his idea.
Which was his idea. Yeah, he's very much into showing the truth in this, which is, again, something that he's never really done before. He sits down for a lot of candid interviews. I don't mean this in a negative sense, but you can tell he's very uncomfortable in some of them because he's talking about himself and he doesn't necessarily like to talk about Mark. You can tell he doesn't like it. He prefers to talk about The Undertaker. He prefers to talk about wrestling, but he doesn't necessarily like to talk about some of the emotions behind things.
Uh-huh.
You can see that discomfort in him, which I think is just that's him. We're all like that. And, you know, it just shows that he's human, which is really nice. But there are a lot of interviews with his wife. There are a lot of interviews with fellow wrestlers. Vince McMahon is in it. Edge is in it. I think they used some older footage of them. Bray Wyatt is in it. They used older footage of him. You can tell based on Bray's hair exactly when they interviewed him. But what it goes into is it basically talks about the streak and how the decision ending the streak happened and him going to the hospital and what that whole detail was. And we find out more information about that, including that Vince and Brock went with him to the hospital.
Yeah, everyone knew Vince did. That was made clear. And it's good to actually get confirmation of the story, even though it's probably been told 1,000 times, where it's like Vince went, Brock went, and Vince McMahon left WrestleMania to be with The Undertaker. That's their bond.
Yeah, and they talk a little bit about Vince and Taker's bond. I think we're going to see more of it as the show progresses. I think we actually will probably see more of it in the next episode this Sunday, just to see how close they are. And it only makes sense that they have a relatively tight bond because Taker has worked for Vince for 30 years. And Taker has remained completely loyal to Vince that entire time. Like, that entire time. And has, as far as we know, never made a misstep. Now, that could not be the case, but we've never heard of it. But, I mean, and when times are really lean and times are really tough and he had every opportunity to leave, he didn't.
He stayed. He stayed. Yeah, he stayed.
And I think that matters a great deal to Vince, and that did a lot to endear Taker to Vince if he hadn't been already. So they have a very strong, very close relationship. I think Taker's commented that basically Vince is family because they've been together that long. They're probably work married, I would suspect, in a weird way. But yeah, we get that. We just get a lot of access, and you can tell that this was meant to be
it.
33 was meant to be the retirement for Taker. You see what kind of really physical shape he's in, which it's very rough to watch him. I'm going to say hobble. I mean, I don't mean that again negatively, but just watching him walk, he's kind of hobbling. Things aren't quite working right, and he's having a hard time getting around. And we even see it where they take him to the trainer's room and they put cortisone in his knees or something in his knees to get him moving. Like, that's the level of access that we get.
Yeah. What was interesting is, like, the Taker agreed to all the filming and wanted all the filming. It's like, the one comment Jericho made in the thing was, Taker's being filmed. Why is Taker being filmed? Because Taker never gets filmed. So he kind of caught on. It's like, is this it? Is this the end for The Undertaker?
Yeah, Jericho was asking those questions because he's like, he never does podcasts. He never does anything. And he's being filmed.
Yeah.
So it's like, And then Roman later made a comment, you know, this is hard being the last one.
Yeah.
Because Roman wants to live up to the match. But what was interesting was they talk about the streak, they talk about the concussion, but they talk about Taker's mental state after the concussion happened. When he came back the next year and he fought Bray, right? Where Taker was actually nervous. Taker was really unsure if he could still do the thing. Like, he was very shaken after WrestleMania 30, and he was very unsure, and he was not in a very good place mentally with it all. Like, he had trained, and he had gotten ready, and he was like, yeah, I'm gonna do it, but he just didn't know if he could go through with it or not. Because he just was that concerned about his physical state, his physical health, and what had happened. Like, that was all kind of replaying in the back of his mind. And you actually see where Hunter walks up to Taker and is like, you're the fucking Undertaker. Go kick his ass.
Yeah.
Like,
That's pretty much what it was.
That's pretty much what it was. Hunter's like, go kill him.
Go be you. Show everyone who the hell you are.
Yeah, remember who the fuck you are. Simba. No. So yeah, and then you had Bray on the flip side that he's like, I had no idea that he was nervous. Never let on. Didn't have a clue. He came out and whooped me.
Right.
But 31 was the proving grounds for Taker to be like, okay, all right, I'm good. I can still do this. And then he carried on from there. But it's just interesting to hear how he was nervous.
Oh, yeah, it was really interesting.
It's like, huh, okay, he got a little shaken. He got his confidence knocked. Okay, which I think we all kind of felt that a little bit after 30, just in the way that they did the storyline, because we never saw him. He never really participated in the build. It was all basically Bray Wyatt and some magic going on. And then Taker shows up in San Francisco. They do a quick little match and then it's over, right? So it's like Taker, we all kind of felt that maybe there was something going on there with Taker's confidence or, you know, just a general unsureness involved in that whole thing. So it's nice it got confirmed.
Yeah.
And it's also really nice to hear him say that there hasn't been one WrestleMania that he hasn't been nervous.
That was good to hear.
That was cool. Because you'd think, right? He's like, he's the fucking Undertaker. He's done this 100 times or 1,000 times or whatever. And, you know, he's still at WrestleMania. He still gets the butterflies after 30 years. I think that's cool.
It means he still cares.
He's still into the wrestling, which is awesome. But what I think my favorite part of all of this was Hunter waiting for Taker after the match with Roman was over. And Taker comes to the back and Hunter's the first one to see him when he comes to the back. That was sweet because the two hug.
Yeah.
And Hunter kind of reassures him that it's okay. That was really, really sweet.
It was.
But yeah, I really enjoyed this. I really liked it. And I love that we're getting 4 more episodes of this. Because now the question is like, Taker was good, he was fine, like everything we see after that, you know, he's like, he's retired, he's done, he's out, he's good with the decision, he's pleased with the decision, you know, Vince and him kind of say goodbye at the end of the episode, and Taker goes home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this episode, this coming one, is going to be what influences his decision to say, you know what, that's not good enough, I'm coming back for more.
Yeah.
But I think overall, I understand him
mm-hmm.
better, which is the whole point.
Yeah.
And not to say that I know him intimately or anything like that, because I wouldn't even begin to claim that I know that man intimately based on this, but you can kind of see how much of a perfectionist he actually is.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not so much that they keep reeling him back in. I think there's an utter dissatisfaction with what he's seeing in his own performance. Like when he had to admit that he couldn't do a full-time schedule anymore, that hurt. That physically hurt him to say.
It did.
Like he just sits there and he's like, there.
I said it.
Like really begrudgingly, like almost bitterly. He's like, damn it. Got old. It sucks. But he wants to do nothing but his absolute level best every time he performs. That's what's in him. That's what's been ingrained in him at this point is, you know what, his opponent could be shit, but he's still going to go out there and do what he has to do. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter if he's sick, if he's hurt, if there's no power, whatever. He's going to do his job. He's going to do business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, we kind of get it in the teaser that he watches the match with Roman. And I think for him, retirement is only going to come for him when he is absolutely 100% satisfied with his performance and what he sees in the end.
He has to be happy with the end result.
And he's his own worst critic. You can tell he's his own worst critic. You can tell that he holds himself to an extremely high standard. He's already settling, which he doesn't like. And so if he has to settle more, I don't think he's going to be okay with that. But that's just based on what I've seen in the way that they cut the documentary. But I felt this was really good. It lives up to the hype. It absolutely lives up to the hype. Just because we're getting an unprecedented look at him.
Yep.
And it's not the glamorized, soft filter, soft focus look at the Undertaker where, for lack of a better term, they suck his dick really hard. Because that's what they do with Taker. And he's absolutely earned it. But generally, when we get like an introspective of the Undertaker, that's what we get, where they talk about the character and the grandeur and how wonderful he is and everything like that. And granted, they talk about all of this in this, but they also show that he has the same feet of clay as the rest of us. They show that he's human. And really, for the first time, we get to see Mark and we get to see that side of him, which is nice.
Oh, it is. It's very nice to see.
But yeah, I thoroughly enjoy this. I hope the next episode is equally as good. I think it will be. This might sound a little, suck up ish, but thank you to Taker. Thank you to Michelle for opening their lives up and letting us see this.
Speaking of Michelle, she's going to be on the post-mortem after episode 2 on the WWE Network. They have her doing an interview with her.
So go her?
After the thing. So there you go.
I want to see the conversation when he decides to go back. We won't ever see it. We won't ever see that conversation, but I really want to see that conversation where he looks at his wife after he's like, yeah, I'm done. And then he goes, well.
Well, you see what he mean was.
And she's just like, God damn it.
Not this again.
Oh, God damn. All right, fine. No, but I do. I want to say thank you because they didn't have to do this. They didn't have to let the cameras in. They didn't have to let it get that personal. Because they follow her around as well. They get her thoughts and her opinions on the whole thing and kind of how she sees it from her side. Because she's watching it. She's watching him go through everything that he's going through, right? She's not, he's in pain every day. He's in pain constantly. And there's nothing she can really do to help him. She's just kind of got to suffer alongside him while he's making these decisions. Like, I'm not sure if it's in a future episode or she said it in an interview or something, but basically when he wrestled Goldberg in Saudi, he gets dropped on his head and he hurt his neck and his back. In that match, gets on a plane, flies back from Saudi, does an appearance in New York in pain, doesn't complain about it, doesn't really say anything about it, and then he flies home. But he told her that he got hurt, which she's like, for him to admit that he's in pain.
Because usually he says, I'm fine.
Yeah, he normally says, I'm fine. So for him to say something happened, it had to be excruciatingly painful for him. And yet he still goes and does an appearance. That's the type of person he is. In her words, he's not going to say no.
That's why he's the mother effing taker.
Yep, that's why he's the most respected person in the business. Like, you see it with him going around at the Hall of Fame. And, you know, just him in general, him in the back, you know, it's like you see how everybody is with him. There's a reason he is who he is and he's gotten where he's gotten. But yeah, so if you haven't watched it, I would strongly recommend watching it. It is on demand now on the WWE Network. And like we said, episode 2 is available this Sunday. Woo! So can't wait to see it. So any final thoughts?
No, I'm good.
All right, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Talk about a show of unpredictability.
Okay, I just want to say this because I've had this in my brain all day and I haven't been able to tweet it out because I feel like it's a little rude to tweet. But I appreciate what Johnny and Candace are trying to do, where they're being edgy and they're being dark. But it doesn't compare to what Scarlett and Karrion Kross are doing. Not by half. I'm sorry. the whole thing that they're doing was really good up until you debuted Scarlett and Karrion. And then it's like, yeah, there's edgy in quotations. And then there's the actual, like, fuck you, we're here. And yeah. But dinner with the Garganos was nice, I guess.
It was a good segment. We'll get to that.
It's a little trippy, but yeah, we'll get to it. But yeah, it's like you have them kind of talking about how they're going to take over and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And then Karrion Kross is like, yeah, we're just here to kill people. And Scarlett's like, yeah, we are.
One was sarcastic and one is pure evil. You decide which one's which.
I wouldn't say evil. I would say devious.
Okay.
Maniacal, Machiavellian, all those things.
All those things. So can I start from the beginning?
Yes.
Our opening contest, by the way, Baron was playing the part of middleman this week instead of Tom Phillips. It was Matt Riddle and Timothy Thatcher taking on Imperium's Marcel Barthel and Fabian Aichner for the NXT Tag Team Championship.
I'm just going to say this. Pete Dunne would not have abandoned Matt Riddle.
So Mr. Thatcher decided to abandon his partner and cost them the NXT Tag Team Championships.
I mean, in all fairness, he did get kicked in the face.
He did.
By his own partner, was a miscue.
It was a miscue. But Timothy does not like all the bros and all the jokes and all the stuff. He likes to wrestle. He's a fighter. My God. That's why he did what he did. But Imperium walked away with some gold.
They did. It was a little surprising, but it wasn't that they took the titles off of Riddle and Dunn. I think, you know, it's like they were looking at Thatcher and they're like, yeah. Not to take anything away from Timothy Thatcher, but like, It was like, this was meant to be a temp solution, and now they're looking at the long term, right? They're looking at how long Dunn is potentially going to be in the UK, and really how long this can carry on and this can work, and realistically it can't.
And there's more money in the two of them feuding rather than being partners.
Yeah, so it makes sense to take the titles off of Riddle and Dunn for right now, because you can always put them back on them. And put them on Imperium, because now that gives Imperium more gold. Because you have Walter having the UK title, and you have the other two having the tag team titles. So that stacks them up pretty good future.
They're doing pretty good right now.
And it helps to just strengthen your tag team division just a little bit. And then, of course, we had Timothy Thatcher and Matt Riddle having words and having a match about said words. Because Matt Riddle was obviously upset.
Yeah, so later on the show, he FaceTimes Mr. Regal, gets his match, And then they had a match in the main event of the show. Pretty good match the two of them had. But Riddle scored the victory, but afterwards Thatcher beat his ass.
Yeah, he did.
And then locked in the armbar.
Yeah, he did. It was pretty brutal. But it was good. It was really good.
It was good. Other things on the show included Tegan Knox defeating Indy Hartwell. Good little showcase for Tegan.
Very good little showcase. I like her logo.
Yeah, it's nice. She has a shirt, too.
Which Brent should go buy.
He should. Rhea Ripley was backstage. She was talking about how WrestleMania didn't go her way. And says, you know, she's going to beat you and then go after Charlotte because she's not done with Charlotte Flair. So there you go.
It's all heating up.
It is Group A matchup for the interim NXT Cruiserweight Championship tournament. It is Jake Atlas, Tony Nese. Jake Atlas gets on the board. Goes 2-1, I should say. Is now 2-1 on the 2-1, while Tony Nese is now 0-2. Solid match.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I thought it was very good.
You had Adam Cole on Skype, Zoom, whatever, with all his boys. They all joined in one after the other. It's Kai.
Best Zoom call ever.
It's Kai on. It's Bobby. Oh, it's the originals. And then there's Roddy. Oh. Oh. They thought Dexter's weird.
Dexter is weird. But
Bobby. Yeah.
Can I just say I very much appreciate and like that Bobby Fish was rocking the salt and pepper look. And I feel like he needs to continue that on. Can I just say that? I mean, just, yeah.
We had the Karen. Is it Karen or Karrion Kross?
I think it's technically Karrion Kross, but I call him Karen.
Okay, Karen. Karrion Kross and Scarlett vignette. The best thing about this, so for people of old WWE, they used a song that we haven't heard in a long time. The End Is Near.
Heard this song in forever.
It's from when they were doing Armageddon back in 1999. They started using this one, I think. Yeah, I popped for the music.
I did too. I was like, wait. What's really stupid is like they kept saying like the end is near TikTok. And I was like, oh, that would be cool if they did like the song, right? You know, the end is near, right? Like the whole Motorhead kind of sounding thing a little bit. And then they actually played it. And it's like, oh, there it is. Yes, it's perfect. They still have the rights to it and everything. Yeah.
Because it's the song they created.
I know, but it's like sometimes they let that stuff expire.
Oh, I know.
But yeah, they have it, and it was perfect, and Scarlett looked badass, and so did Karen. He looked very good. He cut a nice promo about how basically they're not here for anything other than destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And F you all.
We had a nice vignette with Dakota and Raquel Gonzalez.
I like that. I liked how they went back and rehashed the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Dakota talked about how, you know, she can trust Raquel and all this, how they're going to lay waste and everything like that. So it's good. I liked it.
So it was told on the bump that William Regal said that tonight on NXT we would have a major announcement. And then later on in the day, we would learn that D-Generation X would be the ones making the announcement. So backstage in production, we have Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Shawn wearing his face covering because, you know, the thing.
Safety first.
Safety first. Sean's like, I hope this goes better than Hunter's appreciation night on SmackDown. Triple H said, well, we're celebrating 25 years of WWE in your house. Road Dogg showed up, talked about some stuff that happened in the past, and then kept bringing up, you know, we've all had in your house moments. And then he brings up, you know, the Hogpen match.
Well, he was trying to remember Hunter's, and he couldn't remember Hunter's, right? And he's like, what happened? What happened? And then they make the announcement, right, that, you know, NXT TakeOver in your house, very clever, is coming very soon, I think in 2 or 3 weeks.
June 7th.
So we have that to look forward to. They're going to do NXT in your house one more time, or for the first time. And then they go, if you're not down with that, we've got two words for you. And then Road Dogg cuts in and he's like, pig crap! That's what happened! Your face got shoved in pig crap!
It did. It did.
And he's going on talking about it. And Hunter's like, oh, cut away, cut away, cut away.
Hit Balor's music, Balor's music. Someone hit Balor's music, Balor's music. Cue Balor's music. Let's go.
It was so good. It was so good.
I like it. I'm cool with it, and I want them to. I know it won't happen, but go find the set.
Oh, I'm sure they could find the set.
Build out the set and put it in Full Sail. Let's actually have the In Your House set for this.
They probably could.
They probably, and they should, because it would make it perfect.
I mean, honestly, because they don't have to have fans in the building, they could. They really could. They could just change kind of the orientation of everything and just, do the thing.
Because it's not a big set. Because here's the thing. You can have everything come out the same because all they did back then was come out of a curve. So the house was angled. So you could still have them straight coming out the way they would be. It would work. Just do the thing. And I like how they use the old WWE old school graphic too.
Mm-hmm.
For it with the old logo and everything.
That was nice.
Speaking of Finn, he took on Cameron Grimes. Good match. We saw Damian Priest get involved, cost Finn the match. So Cameron beat Finn, and then Damian let us know it was him who was the one who attacked Finn Balor 3 weeks ago.
Now, I found something really interesting, and it has nothing to do necessarily with this show. But so Damian Priest gets Balor down, gets him on his back, and then takes a steel chair and puts it over Finn, and then he sits down on the steel chair where the bar's like across Finn's neck, and Finn's like struggling to like breathe because then like Damian sort of leans forward on it a little bit, which puts more pressure on the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is WWE, either the main Twitter or the NXT Twitter the next day, put out that, you know, a callback to a classic rivalry, and they showed the same exact moment between Hunter and Taker. They were feuding like back in 2000 or 2001, where Hunter did the same thing, where he got Taker down and he pinned Taker down with a steel chair. And I just thought that was an interesting callback, because it's like I wouldn't have necessarily thought of that, but it's like, okay, all right, I see what you did there. Very, very interesting. But honestly, I thought it was Dexter Lumis that attacked Finn, so I'm okay with Damian Priest attacking Finn. I'm okay with the entire feud. Let's do this. Let's go. There's going to be a lot of really good things that happen in this.
Jack Gallagher got on the board in the Cruiserweight tournament by being Isaiah Scott.
Go, Edgy Jack! Go! Woo!
Kaden Carter beat Aaliyah. You had Robert Stone watching on, and well, things didn't go well for Aaliyah, so maybe she won't be in the Robert Stone brand after all.
She really wants to be in the Robert Stone brand, and I think he's curious, but I don't think he liked what he saw. But what's interesting about that is that she got new gear.
She did.
So, could she be in for a push? We'll have to see.
And then, as Lindsay mentioned, you had the Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae segment, them eating dinner. It was goofy. I liked some of the puns they were doing.
It's kind of trippy.
It was trippy. But they set their sights on Keith Lee and Mia Yim.
They had a wonderful response on Twitter.
They did. I'm here for this pairings.
I kind of like that you're having more couples and you're having husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends and significant others all coming together and all working together, and you have these male-female pairings. I'm really on board for this because it's adding another dimension that we haven't seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy about it. Let's see how it goes. But for right now, I'm very, very happy about it. But like I said, this was good. They kind of did these weird, like blurred black and white treatment things where they were talking and everything like that. And it was very trippy. But I get what they're trying to do, and if Scarlett Bordeaux, if Scarlett Bordeaux and Karrion Kross were not there, it would absolutely be awesome and epic, and it still is. But there's another couple doing something relatively similar to what they're doing, and Karrion and Scarlett are doing it six times as better because it's a much stronger presentation than what the Garganos are doing. That's the thing. It's not anything on Johnny and Candice. It's just it almost feels like it's what, you know, people think edgy and emo and everything is with Candace and Johnny. And then there's the actual version of it, which is Scarlett and Karrion. And I wouldn't even insult them by saying it's edgy. It's far beyond edgy. It's just dark. It's dark. It's twisted. It's devious. It's I give no fucks about anything other than destruction.
Yep.
And that's, I feel like, is the difference. Is just there's a much stronger presentation of something going on here, and the two are kind of fighting, and I feel like Johnny and Candace are kind of losing
a little bit. We'll see how it goes, though.
We will see how it goes. But yeah, that's just my personal feelings on it. And like I said, I like what Johnny and Candace are doing. I'm enjoying it thoroughly. I like that they're finally together. I like that Candace is finally being used and she's getting her due, and Johnny is there to sort of support her and help her and manage her. But yeah. There's two things fighting right now that I really, really like, and Johnny and Candace are losing.
Well, But on that note, I say we take a break.
I say we take a break. And when we come back, guys, we are going to be doing Tweet of the Week. And we are talking Money in the Bank. So you don't want to miss that. Listen to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. And we will be right back.
I thought you could stay, but I was so wrong. The end is here, the game is over. No more pretending, no more, no more.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Bang! Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight as she's still. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with The Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe... upside down.
To the shocking moment.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You're engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
For the bling, don't you know it's all about the cash? Ching about the double properties and stack them things. Okay. Make a big bucks, change rocks and rings. Bang. Where my money? What? Give it to me. I ain't never been.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you are on Twitch and you'd like to use your free Twitch Prime sub here, we'll just click on the little purple heart at the bottom of the screen and we would very much appreciate it. Or if you'd like to subscribe normally, that's fine too. Or if you just prefer to hang out, okay, no problem. We are happy for the love and for you guys to be spending your Thursday evening or whenever you're listening to us with us right now. And if you're in a following mood and, you know, you'd like some not-so-quality content where you can watch really shitty unboxing videos if I ever do another one, or crappy Fortnite content, or Photoshop tutorials, or whatever I come up with, you can go over to twitch.tv/Linsward and you can follow my channel. If we get to affiliate, I get to do a custom emote. It's a fish butt. You'll love it. It's awesome. So please go follow my channel, twitch.tv/Linsward. Would greatly appreciate it. And with that, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place. And I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Marcel, if you are what you eat, then I guess I'm an ass. Matt Mitchell, okay, hear me out. What if we train the murder hornets to kill the mosquitoes? I could be on board for that. Matt Mitchell. Meemaw Ivy said, y'all can go to the Cracker Barrel now, but you probably shouldn't touch the peg game. I mean, it's not wrong.
Nope.
For those of you who don't know who he is, he's a part of several Southern-based blogs. He's a comedian. He's extremely funny. He does taste test videos. I've gotten into that since quarantine happened because I have nothing else to consume. So here we are. But he's enjoyable even without it. Piper Niven. Gasps in Scottish. Gasps in dinosaur. Hashtag money in the bank. And it's a picture of her gasping with a Tyrannosaurus Rex plushie.
Okay.
Alistair Black. A picture of a ghost. After money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect, well-timed tweet. Katie Nolan. Oh my god, Seth Rollins is pregnant. Tim the Tatman posts out a video. I love you, bro, at Ninja. And it's the video of, you know, Ninja getting, quote-unquote, stream sniped. And Tim trying to calm Ninja down. And it's Tim in a ninja wig. And, you know, Ninja screaming stream sniper, which is hilarious. And he replies, I'm getting bullied. And this post stream sniped me.
Well.
See what happened was. Matt Mitchell. Stop comparing 2020 to Jumanji. This is clearly a game Twister on top of Legos while playing dodgeball blindfolded.
I mean, that's not a lie.
That's pretty fucking accurate. Like, all right. Okay. This is not the least bit appropriate at all. It's actually really very wrong, but I had to favorite it because it's funny. Uncensored Wrestling. Becky Lynch isn't the first Irish man to be stripped of a title because of Seth Rollins. And it shows a picture of Finn Balor with the Universal Championship.
No,
it's so wrong, but it's so funny. It's like, holy shit, it's perfect. That's all I have.
So he never sent us the thing we were supposed to read, right?
Who?
The intern.
We were supposed to read something?
Remember he had a Facebook thing he wanted us to wedge in there?
Oh!
Slacker. He slacked.
Right. No, I think I remember what it was. I don't remember quite what it was, but yes, he was supposed to send us something.
He was supposed to send us something. He's a slacker, I mean.
Hold on, let me send him a message real quick and see if he...
He's working. He's not home. Anyway, Ninja. So, Courage JD is on a walk right now with his girlfriend and is voice messaging me, and he sounds out of breath. LOL. OL. Courage... LMAO, bro, you're legit a clown. I'm on a hill during my 45-minute nighttime walk and get this crap. Go eat another Reese's cup, you fatty. Because that's what they do. Richard Triunfo. Even though we did not see him in the building, Shane McMahon was there. The water in the bucket that the janitor was using was Shane McMahon's sweat.
Ew.
Paige. Just ate a whole bagel and didn't realize I ate the whole thing. So I was confused when I hadn't done left and was mildly upset. So that's my quarantine update. I ate so much now. that I eat without realizing. Lance Storm, any chance WWE can buy back that first house they gave away at In Your House and have the NXT guys fight the next takeover in that house? I mean, that would be cool. Marcel.
That would be cool.
Marcel, just leveled up as an adult. Got a Costco card. Fuck with me.
Hey.
James Vanderbeek. Reporting off WWE indicate that until Rebecca Quinn is physically capable, the part of Becky Lynch will be played by Sarah Chalk. I mean, she is good at filling in for people, especially
if it pays the bills, you know?
Especially Becky's. So Mick Foley tweeted, feelings may be hurt, feathers may get ruffled, but this needs to be said. Audio.
Hello, this is Mick Foley with an important declaration to make. It is after great thought and mental tribulation that I have come to the conclusion and would like to share my opinion that Dr. Britt Baker is the greatest wrestling dentist of all time. I say this with all due respect to Isaac Yankem and the entire town of Decatur, Illinois. But given her moveset, her persona, and her use of the mandible claw, I believe that Britt Baker is not only the greatest wrestling dentist of all time, but she is, in fact, the Bret Hart of wrestling dentists. She is the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. And I hope that Dr. Baker will take that declaration into consideration when at a certain date and time yet to be determined, she perfects the Foley smile.
Oh, Mickles. Just, oh, Mickles.
So he's going to get his teeth fixed?
Maybe. And finally, Sean Ross Sapp. Bro, one of my friends just had a baby boy. What do you think they named it? I'm asking you a question. What do you think they named a baby boy? It's wrestling related.
Bret Hart?
No. Bro, one of my friends just had a baby boy named Jackson Riker. She has no clue that she now has a forgotten son.
Wow, that is like next level dad joke.
Tweet of the week.
Tweet of the week. All right, well, we're going to see if the intern weighs in with what he wanted us to read. TikTok, Brent, TikTok. And in the meantime, while we wait on that, we're going to talk a little Money in the Bank, which was this past Sunday on the WWE Network, and parts of it were live, parts of it were not. And overall, I felt like this was a good show.
It was a really enjoyable show. It did not overstay its welcome. It was 2.5 hours. For what it needed to be, it was. Could you have done without a couple of things in the show? Yeah. Did you really need...
People really need to get murdered, maybe. I don't know.
Did you really need the R-Truth match? Not particularly, but, you know, here we are. Bobby Lashley beat R-Truth. It was supposed to be MVP, but, you know, MVP got the night off thanks to Bobby Lashley. But it led to R-Truth's funny moment where he challenged Tom Brady for the 24/7 championship. So I'm okay with this.
I'm fine with it.
I want to see it happen.
I really want to see R-Truth stalking pretty much every football player ever that wins that title.
And as I said on WTR Sunday night, in R-Truth fashion, he's going to go to New England to find Tom Brady.
Yep.
Yep. That's the thing. So our opening on the pre-show was Jeff Hardy defeating Cesaro. Just as FYI. But
it was a good match.
Good match. Our opening contest was for the SmackDown Tag Team Titles Fatal 4-Way. New Day versus Miz and Morrison versus Lince Dorado and Gran Metalik of Lucha House Party and Steve Cutler and Wesley Blake of the Forgotten Sons. Good match. Enjoyable.
It was nice to have all the full teams in this match.
Uh-huh.
I was very much about that. And yeah, this was good. I really enjoyed this a lot. Again, they timed this out so the matches were really kind of the perfect length. You're seeing WWE sort of start to figure this whole no crowd thing, show length out. Like, there's certain shows, Raw, SmackDown, that they cannot change the timing of, but the pay-per-views, if the pay-per-views go shorter, okay, I think they're fine with that. I think everybody's fine with that, because it's like the match, especially this match, you know, all of them on this card really were the perfect length.
It was. This went about 12 minutes. Everyone got the shine. They did not overstay their welcome. Kofi looked a little bit off in this match, but beyond that, I thought it was enjoyable. You got your check it off at home. You got your Spanish fly moment. So, you know, you got everything you could need in this match. So, New Day retained. kind of surprising, but not really.
It was, but it wasn't, and I think I'm okay with it, because they can always change it later, clearly, as they need to. But I don't think they will for the time being. I will say it was a little disappointing for the Forgotten Sons, because I still feel like they maybe needed to come out of the gate stronger, but that's just me.
We had Bayley taking on Tamina for the SmackDown Women's Championship. We both flat out said we had low expectations for this matchup, and they surpassed them.
I thought this was enjoyable. I thought this was good. I think they did a great job working together. Again, this was the perfect length. I think we're going to be saying that about a lot of the matches on this show. And I think they did. They made each other look the best that they could.
Tamina was on her back for a majority of the match, so that helped. She took a lot of Bayley's offense, so that helped. Bayley was in control a lot of the matchup, because when it came down to Tamina having to do things and having to run after Sasha, that wasn't so good.
No.
That really wasn't good at all. But Sasha's interference or distractions allowed Bayley to retain the title about 10 and a half minutes. We said last week it shouldn't go no more than 10, so it just went about 10 minutes. So it was a pretty solid match. Again, 10 minutes, about the 7 or 8 minute mark. Tamina sort of ran out of juice, but, you know, that's what happens. Overall, it was solid, I'll say.
Yeah, and in no surprise to anybody, I feel like Bayley retained, and they're moving on from there. So yeah, I think it was a nice spotlight for Tamina. I feel like it's one that she hasn't had in a very long time. I'm happy that she was able to do that and be a part of it. Because again, I feel like she's kind of one of those wrestlers that never got her due, because she came in that really awkward period before the Divas Revolution happened. And she was just way before it ever happened. She kind of came in when bra and panties matches and everything else were still a thing, and she didn't quite fit into the product like they needed her to. She was sort of like Natty. She was there to be a solid hand, I feel like, and that's all, when they needed her to be. But otherwise, she kind of got pushed off to the side. So that and the injuries and everything else, she just kind of sort of got left behind. So it's nice to see her finally getting a little bit of her due.
So let's get into a matchup that we really sunk our teeth into. It was Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt for the WWE Universal Championship.
Bray, you sweet summer fool. What the hell, son? What the hell? First of all, this match was so much better than what I saw at Starrcade. Like, this match was infinitely better than what I saw at Starrcade. Like, I was genuinely concerned, because the cage match that I saw was not wonderful. And it had nothing to do with the red lighting. It was just they were in an enclosed space and there wasn't a lot they could do. And they really needed to be able to get out of the ring to be able to make it good, and they just couldn't do that. Here they were able to go all over the place. They were able to get in and out of the ring, move around as they needed to. Bray had his own private cheering section as all the puppets showed up to cheer Bray on.
So Strowman was destroying Bray at the beginning, and Bray sort of like, oh god, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then Huskus appears, and it sort of invigorated Bray. It's like, you could do it, Bray. You could do it. And he started to take control from that point.
And then the rabbit appeared, and Mercy appeared, and I don't think, was Abby at ringside, or was she on the screen?
They were all there.
Okay, yeah, they were all there.
So Bray's conflicted as he starts beating on Strowman, and at one point he goes, look what you made me do! And Bray even got up and performed a tornado DDT. Impressive. Yeah, he was
very happy that Bray Wyatt...
He's a small, agile man, the smaller agile man in this match.
He is. He could do more in this match.
Bray hit the Sister Abigail for a two, and he's like,
Confused.
Then he goes for another. Strowman blocks it, goes for a chokeslams him. Strowman's now, like, you know, in control, and, you know, Bray laid him out on the outside. Bray's back in the ring. Strowman sits up, and he's wearing the mask.
Bray's so happy. I'm screaming the entire time, you stupid fool, he's going to kill you.
I told him I would find you. He's laughing, he's smiling, he's happy. And they're like, we're together. And all the puppets are so happy. They're so, so happy.
They're like, welcome home, join us, you know, all this shit. I'm still screaming, he's going to kill you. It's a ploy, it's a trap. Punch him in the face, Bray. Kick him in the face. Strowman drops to his knees in front of Bray.
Who was on his knees?
They embrace. Bray is so happy. His black sheep has come home. And then the mask comes off. And Braun Strowman murders Bray Wyatt for the 1, 2, 3. Your winner, clean, Braun Strowman. And as he celebrates and leaves Bray Wyatt behind him, you see Bray laying in the corner with this odd, I would say almost devious. I feel like we've used that word a lot tonight. But devious, malicious look in his eye and a very odd little smile on his face.
As flashes of the fiend appeared.
Somebody's triggered! Strowman, you know not what you've done! So, Braun could have a problem on his hands here very, very shortly. But yeah, this was good. I enjoyed this. I was a little shocked at where this got placed in the show. Because I feel like it went on a little early, but that's okay. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, it was the fourth match on the show out of six, so...
I know, I just felt like it should have gone later. You know me, I'll always have Bray Wyatt in the main event. But I like this. I thought it was creative. I thought it was good. I thought it was a very nice use of Funhouse Bray and the puppets and everything. Because again, you at this point, with a Bray Wyatt match, you don't know what to expect, which is good. Which is really good. Because I feel like the Funhouse experience at WrestleMania kind of threw everything into sort of chaos with him, where you're not quite sure. And you're like, maybe this is it, maybe this isn't it. I don't know. Let's just go with it.
It was then the WWE Championship match. Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins. Good. Enjoyable.
Very good.
Very good. They did everything you would expect out of them. They had a hell of a match. Drew McIntyre retained.
The rather vicious Claymore, as I recall.
Yeah, it was. But it was good. We then had a little bit of a thing with Drew and Seth. And you are the man, but not on this night. And, you know. McIntyre stood tall.
They kind of had a... I don't think they quite shook hands, but I think there was a slight sign of respect between Seth and Drew. But obviously we saw Seth's catatonic state Monday night, so, you know, he just couldn't believe he lost.
He really couldn't. But then to the main event. The double Money in the Bank ladder matches. The men's, it's Daniel Bryan, Rey Mysterio, Aleister Black, King Corbin, Otis, and AJ Styles, with the women being Shayna, Nia, Asuka, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Carmella.
Okay, so we found out that this was going to be held at the same time, in the same building, and it's like, how the hell is this going to work? Because you know, at some point, they're going to end up crossing paths, and you just don't know how this is going to go. Also, I would very much like to know if there was an office pool of people who were had bets on what superstar was going to end up on whose desk.
So, the matchup started with the men at the gym, the women in the lobby. Asuka dove down onto all the women.
Which could not have felt good, seeing as the lobby is marble, or granite, or something. It's stone. It's a stone floor.
And then they started their race to the stairs. Meanwhile, the men were brawling.
No. Get it right. Asuka does the dive, takes everybody out, right? And she's like, yeah, I did it. So she makes a mad dash for the elevator. She jumps in the elevator, and right as the women are starting to get up, and they see Asuka's in the elevator, they try to catch her. They can't catch her because the elevator closes right as they get there. So then they make the mad dash for the stairs.
That's right. So then you have the men. They're brawling in the weight room. And at one point, Baron Corbin throws a weight into a mirror, and the look on his face is like,
That's coming out of my paycheck.
Yeah. So Otis and Styles were fighting. Otis put a weight bar on AJ, and Styles was screaming for Rey's help. So they're all running around and whatever, and Rey Mysterio stops in the bathroom as he hears a toilet flush. He's like, oh, wrestlers must be in here. It was not a wrestler. Brother Love, because Brother Love is cool.
And he makes sure to wash his hands.
He did make sure to wash his hands.
There were a couple subtle nods in this that were kind of funny. But yeah, it's like, okay, all right, we got Brother Love. Okay, all right, I'm liking this so far. This is good. This is really good.
By the way, we also Of course, they found the one area in the corporate where there's a mini ring set up with ropes.
Of course, and it has Hell in the Cell in the background.
Yeah. Brian tied Corbin up in the ropes, kicked him a few times, and then music started to play and popped up a doink.
Creepy doink.
Mm-hmm.
Did you mention that AJ got pinned under a weight in
yeah.
the gym?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. That's when he asked for Ray for help. So the women then fight into a conference room. Tell you what type of conference women in a second. Nia and Shayna were fighting. Dana was there, hit her with a chair. And she pulls down a briefcase full of money. She did it. She won. She's missed Money in the Bank. And then Stephanie appears. And says she's in the Money in the Bank conference room. Not actually the briefcase is up on the roof, not in the conference room. She just has a briefcase full of money. We're both sitting here going, take the money. Just take the money.
Yeah, there's like stacks of hundreds in that thing. It's a plexiglass briefcase. Basically, win Vince McMahon's money. And I'm like, shit, that looks real. Take it. Just run with it. Get it out of the building. I don't care what you got to do, but go. Also, just on a personal level, I am extremely envious of WWE's corporate facilities in terms of meeting rooms, mainly because they have them. My building does not have meeting rooms or a lot of meeting rooms. We tend to have to fight over them. If I could speak to somebody at WWE about possibly importing their meeting rooms to my building, that would be wonderful. Well, plus, it's wrestling-themed yeah. meeting rooms, apparently. I'm 1,000% on board for this.
So, Carmella then took out Dana. Lacey,
with her own picture.
With her own picture, which was great. It's been a meme. And then Lacey knocked out Carmella. So AJ's now looking for Rey Mysterio.
Gets up off the elevator, and he's confronted by a picture of Rey, and he's like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to find you. Right? And AJ's touring around, and he turns a corner. And he stops dead in his tracks. He gets pale. And he's confronted by a picture of The Undertaker. Which was just such a great moment. But wait, there's more. Because AJ's running around. He's looking for people. He's pushing his way into offices, right? And he opens the door. And there's a dark office with purple lighting, and laying on the floor in the office is a casket, and behind it is Paul Bearer's urn. One, who knew Taker had an office at corporate? Two, this was just perfect, because AJ's like, no, and he starts having like flashbacks to the Buried Alive match, like legit, they did legit flashbacks to it and everything, and he's like, no. No. And then Aleister Black walks up behind him, pushes him in the office, closes the door, locks the door, and then looks up with this mischievous little smirk on his face like, thanks, Dad!
Like,
and leaves.
That was the best part, was the smirk.
It was just like, he's like, thanks, Taker. You love me. You really love me. It was so good. It was just this perfect little moment in this match. It's like just enough camp to make it good.
Indeed.
But then we come to the food fight.
So Paul Heyman's just sitting in front of a table full of food. And then all the men and women show up. And well, one thing leads to another. It's time for an old-fashioned food fight.
Can we just talk about how Dana comes running in with the picture still hanging off of her?
That was great.
That was hilarious.
So Otis eventually threw a plate of food at Paul Heyman. Shayna choked out Ray.
No. You missed the best part.
What?
Otis throws the food at Heyman. It hits Heyman. And then they individually go to every person involved in this with their shocked, oh shit look.
Yeah.
As they're like, oh my god, no, he hit Heyman. Like, it was just like, what is this? It's perfect, but what is this? This is so campy. It's so good. I love it.
So Nia tosses around Dana. Carmella gets powerbombed onto a table. Otis eventually escapes, and he makes his way into, I guess, another room, you know, the cafeteria, or kitchen area, whatever you want to call it.
Basically where Shawn Michaels used to work.
That's where I was going to go with that, yep. And he finds pie. As he finds his pie, John Laurinaitis,
in his white suit,
pulls up and goes, people power, and then he takes a blueberry pie to the face.
And it stains his nice, crisp, white suit.
People power.
Basically, everybody that was involved, I think, in creating this match was there. That's how they got the cameos. But you could tell who was like booking and producing this match. Because they were there.
Then you randomly had a dude mopping the floor as the women ran through. Poor Dana ran through and did the slip and fall routine and looked like she really smacked her head.
Yeah, that did not look like it felt good. Like, you saw her skull bounce. Like, that was like, ooh.
Ooh, that one's gonna hurt. Then you had AJ and Alistair and Daniel Bryan fighting, and it boils down to AJ and Bryan fighting, and they wander into an office.
And we've been waiting for it, right? The whole night, where they're going to end up in Vince's office, because we know they're going to end up in Vince's office, right? Like, that's telegraphed from the start that somebody is going to end up fighting in Vince McMahon's office, because that's how this should go, right? They don't end up in Vince's office. They need to end up in Hunter's.
Yep.
And also, this was a very nice tour of the WWE corporate facilities and the fact that it's like, okay, that's this level. Oh, there's where Kathy Kelly used to work. Like, okay, all right, I'm getting an orientation now of where all this stuff is. And hey, that's a really nice break room. And they have really nice meeting rooms. And I'm really kind of jealous. And then you go up to, like, the executive level where you see the one meeting room where they have the mosaic, the really expensive glass tile mosaic on the wall and everything like that. And it's like, oh, okay, that's where that is. All right, I got it now. And then, y'all, it happens. We see Vince's office, at least a part of it. I don't think we got to see the full thing, but we see Vince's office because they break into this room, right? They're fighting, and it's like, well, and the only reason I knew it was Vince's office is because I recognized the woodwork, the moldings and stuff from the Taker documentary previews. Because there's a picture or whatever of Taker and Michelle sitting in an office with Vince, and they have like the black walls with like the moldings and everything. And I was like, I think that's his office. And then sure enough, they turn the corner and they turn around and you see the T-Rex skull on the wall. And it's like, yep, there it is. There's Vince's office and they're fighting and everything, except, well, Vince's office is not quite empty. In fact, it's a little occupied and someone's a little busy in it, and it's none other than Vince McMahon himself.
Okay. The most surprising thing about this was Vince McMahon in jeans.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that in my life. I'm fine with it. I was just really shocked he was in jeans.
It's been since like 1997 since we've seen him in jeans.
Is like, wow, casual Vince. Who would have thought? Which, again, it makes you wonder if, like, the Vince promo was, like, or the Vince, like, cameo was, like, a last-minute thing. Or if he was supposed to stand up, because... Or if he was just fine with being in jeans, because why not?
Well, it's when they were filming late at night, so he's casual Vince.
He's just in the office, in his jeans. It's cool.
Yeah.
But he gets a little upset at Bryan and AJ, demands to know what they're doing there, and then tells them to get out. And they very promptly apologize. They nod and they kind of back up, and then they very quickly straighten Vince's office and fix the chairs that they messed up. And then they leave, and as they leave, Vince hits his hand sanitizer and sanitizes his hands because reasons and goes back to work.
Yep.
And then we have AJ and Bryan, where AJ's like, wow, man, you are really a coward. And Bryan looks at him, he's like, it was your idea to straighten the chairs. And then they start fighting again.
And then Baron and Alistair fight. And then Corbin takes out down AJ. And then I'm going to the roof. So we're back on the roof. It's Nia and Lacey. And Asuka then shows up. They're all going for the briefcase. Nia's still being Nia in a ring. Asuka gets to the top of the ladder. She's trying to grab her briefcase. And then King Corbin shows up. And King Corbin tries to come up the ladder, trying to stop Asuka from grabbing hers. Asuka knocks Corbin off the ladder. Asuka wins Money in the Bank.
Which we later learned was more than just a Money in the Bank contract. It was actually for the Raw Women's Championship because, again, Becky Lynch is pregnant. But I really enjoyed this. I loved Asuka knocking Baron off the ladder. She's like, get down! It is not your turn! Like, I don't know why, but I'm really here for, like, women kind of smacking Baron Corbin around. I don't know why, but I'm, like, so on board for that. It's very strange.
So,
but yeah. Good for Asuka. Congratulations to Asuka. Well deserved.
Otis would show up. He tried to climb the ladder. He breaks the ladder. Corbin and Otis are fighting. Otis would eventually hit the caterpillar. Aleister Black and Rey Mysterio show up. They're fighting on a ladder. AJ shows up, pushes them off the ladder. Corbin then tossed Rey Mysterio off the side of the building.
Which we're all like, wait.
Same thing for Aleister Black.
And then it's like, we're all like sitting here like, wait, did Baron Corbin just like straight up murder two people? And he played it up on Twitter, which was so good. So good.
Officially, they went landed on a ledge below.
Yeah, they had like a crash pad and they had everything, like it was all perfectly safe. But from the way that they shot it, it did look like he threw them off the roof.
AJ and Brian were climbing up a ladder. Otis and Corbin brought them down. Styles hit the forearm on Otis. Styles would go for a ladder. Corbin would get up there. Corbin and AJ are fighting for the briefcase. Both unhook it. They're fighting for the briefcase. Elias shows up, takes out Corbin with a guitar. The briefcase falls in the hands of Otis. Otis wins Money in the Bank.
And then he yells, Mandy! I did it!
Enjoyable.
I really, really enjoyed this match. Like, I wasn't sure how it was going to work. You know, we were all, I think, a little bit nervous. Because it's like, well, is this going to work? Because it's like they shot it at corporate. They're going to go through the building. And we all knew there were going to be shenanigans. But I'm honestly have to say, I'm really enjoying them doing these matches like this.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's just enough seriousness and there's just enough camp and comedy that it works. Like, they have a formula that they know is successful and they're running with it. And I really like it. Like, I really, really, really enjoy it and like it. Because at the same time, it's like you can do stuff that now you didn't think was possible before. It's like doing a Money in the Bank match at corporate where they just rip through corporate. Like, in any other circumstance, that would be completely stupid. But right now, it's like, well, but if you think about it, they can do clearly whatever they want. Like, they can have Baron Corbin chuck two people off the side of a building, and it's fine. Can't do that any other time.
Nope.
Doesn't work. Like, they've figured out a formula for what works in these matches right now, and I appreciate it. And they're also, I feel like, trying to tune and key the regular product for what's going on right now. Because, again, I think it's a very hard reality that they're not going to have fans for a while. They're probably right now not going to have fans for SummerSlam unless they move it out of Boston or Boston capitulates and lets them have fans. So they're basically changing their own product so that way it works for what they're trying to do. They're adjusting and we're starting to see that. And I appreciate that and I'm enjoying it thoroughly. Like, this show coming out of WrestleMania, the first pay-per-view after, felt more like a WWE pay-per-view than we've seen. Raw this week felt more like Raw. NXT felt more like NXT. I've not seen SmackDown yet. But if the other shows are any indication, they're now starting to learn and figure out how to do what they've been trying to do now for the last 6 weeks. They've adjusted. They've learned. I think they're listening to feedback. You said that they sent out a survey, I think, on Monday to get notes. And that has no impact on anything that we just talked about, but they're trying to adjust their product.
They're very much aware of the situation and trying to adjust accordingly.
And they're seeing the ratings and they're seeing the comments and they're seeing everything. But honestly, I thoroughly appreciated this pay-per-view. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Money in the Bank matches. I know people thought they were stupid, but clearly I really liked it. And I really like this type of thing because I always enjoy a little spot of comedy when it's appropriate in specific situations. And the fact that you had Brother Love show up and you had Doink and you had Vince and you had Stephanie. And the only person we didn't have was Hunter. I think that was the only disappointment was we did not get Hunter. But he's the face of NXT and he showed up on NXT this week, so it's completely fine. I'm okay with all this.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. So I hope they carry on. I don't think I want a cinematic match every pay-per-view. I will say that. I feel like there's a specialness to them, but in situations where maybe they can't do Money in the Bank at the PC, so they came up with another solution for things like the Funhouse match, for that kind of stuff, I'm here for it. I'm on board for it.
They kept Money in the Bank safe for the workers.
Yeah. You know, they could shoot that over 8 hours. And, you know, you only bring in so many people at a time. You only have so many people there. I think the most people that were there was when they were doing the food fight segment. And that's when you had everybody in the same room. But beyond that, it was completely safe for them. It was a controlled environment. I'm sure the building has been cleaned from top to bottom before and after. And yeah, I felt like this is good. I feel like they have something special here. And I like that they're embracing with it and going with it.
I agree.
So I think that does it for us. What do you think?
We have the business to handle.
We have business we have to handle?
We have business to handle.
All right, well, handle your business.
Because Slacker Turn didn't do this Sunday. We have results from Pick'em.
As I recall, he wasn't ready because the pay-per-view ended early and then you were screaming at him on Sunday.
No. What happened was he never listened to our show until Wednesday, which means he never had our picks.
Oh.
That's what happened, because if you remember, he sent us a message of him listening to the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So he never listened to the show until Wednesday. So that was the problem. He never listened to the show. So that's what happened. He was behind. Anyway.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
Jenna was 1-6. 8-Ball was 2-4. Sheila was 3-3. Tied for 12th was Quinn and the intern, 3-4. Tied for 5th is Chris P, Lindsay, Matt, Rob, me, Subway, and Tommy, all 4-3. Tim went 5-2. Kyle, Keishi, whatever you want to call him, Omega, and Jobber went 6-1. There you go.
There you go. So, all right, that does it for us. What do you think?
Now we're done. I believe we're going to try. Don't care. Yeah, we're going to try for another friend coming up. We'll see what happens. All right?
We will send out the message and we will see who responds. We don't know what we're going to be doing, but there's challenges to be had, so we may be going and doing those. We'll have to see.
So just stay with us a little bit. Saturday night, midnight, CB Radio, CBRadioLive.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. If they feel like talking wrestling on a Sunday night, it's called Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. For The Rack, we'll probably talk about NXT, The Undertaker documentary, and so much more. It's The Rack Live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Direct Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all the social media platforms and podcasting platforms under The Rack Radio Show, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, you name it. We're there. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, did you know if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account? It's called Twitch Prime. I know, it's cool, it's simple. And best of all, it's free, which means you can subscribe to this channel for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. Just do the thing. Hit the button. Because why not? It's Twitch Prime. And use your subs. You can also use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad. Hashtag epic partner.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at LinsWard, LANSWRD. And if you follow my channel, twitch.tv/LinsWard, well, we might get to affiliate. And if we get to affiliate, guys, then you get a free brand new emote. It's a fish butt. It's awesome. It's amazing. You'll love it. So go to twitch.tv/LinsWard and check it out. You can also follow me on Twitter for whenever I'm going on live, and also for any other shenanigans that I might do online. And if you're interested in checking stuff out, go check out MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, as they are a very fine sponsor, and see all the wonderful things that Matt is doing over there. So like Rock said, we are going to attempt to squad up. We're going to send out the call. We're going to see who answers. So everybody sit tight. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get everybody together if we can. So go grab something to drink, go grab a snack, go to the bathroom, go do what you got to do. But sit tight, because we will be right back. So till Fortnite with friends, you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you in just a couple minutes. Bye! Money, 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 money.
WildTalkRadio.com.